Brethren, we'll look today into the topic of the spirit of a mother. And we'll try to cover three main points: called to be a mother, qualities of a godly mother, and the influence and legacy that comes with it. And also toward the end, I would like, if we have time, and I hope we do, we'll do some audience participation. And Brother Chris did that very similar, if you remember, each one of you having a phone, and then we'll get some feedback. I hope we get into that. And we're looking forward to that as well. So let's look into this topic a little bit more, called to be a mother. And before we look into that, I really want to share, and I think on behalf of everyone, I really appreciate that we have two young mothers with us, Sister Valerika and Sister Nadik, and I think it is such a blessing that it brings a different dynamic to our ecclesia, to see different ages, to see the young ones. It reminds us of those of you who have children, of those days of joy and less sleep and more sleep and everything and the joy that came with it. And in the same time, it teaches us that there are different seasons in life. And with that comes different seasons in our Christian life as well, of development. And what a joy that is. And we are very blessed to have that. And of course, not only mothers, but families, husbands, and everyone. So we're very thankful for that. We know that Eve was called the mother of all living. She was the first mother entrusted with the continuation of mankind. And when we think from that standpoint, from that angle, what a responsibility was for her, but in the same time, what a blessing that came with it. And then throughout the Bible, we see many other powerful examples of motherhood. And not only that, but strong desires to be a mother as well. And we know that it takes work, it's pain, but it's rewarding. And that's what Jesus said, that when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And that's a principle that comes in our lives, that anything that we can achieve or we can do is through pain. Where is no suffering, where is no pain, there is no gain. That's what Jesus said, that if we want to gain something, we have to lose something. Whoever will lose his life for me will gain it. And that's a principle that we learn it and we see it in the motherhood as well. And I think it is such a good example because it's truly the joy that comes after that. You forget about the pain. Not that I know, but close. But what I mean, it's the principle is there. And I think it is very important. And Proverbs 31:28, her children arise and call her blessed. There is a joy that comes after that as well. And sometimes it's hard to see the reward. It's hard to see that joy, probably. You know, when you wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning, that's not your first thing that you think about, the joy. You think of different things. But as time goes by, and if we step back and put things in perspective, there is the joy that comes with it. And as we look through this lesson, and we'll start getting into some very beautiful concepts and scriptures, I would like to make this lesson practical for each one of us, where each one of us, we feel that we take something from this, not only mothers, but everyone who's present. And by the Lord's grace, I think we will, because the Bible is so rich, where we see that motherhood is actually expanded to different levels. And we'll look into some examples together. But I want each one of us, as we look through this, to think, do I have the spirit of a godly mother? And this will be the theme that we'll like to follow today. So we'll start first with our Heavenly Father, God. He himself, in Isaiah 66:13, it says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. So we see that he himself compares to a loving mother, to a mother that comforts, to a mother that gives everything that she has to the child. And I don't think we can fully understand. And that's why probably he gave us that principle, that we can slightly get a glimpse into how much he does for us. But as Jesus said, that this is just as an example, that if you are evil and you know how to give good gifts, how much more your Father, which is in heaven, give you things to them that ask him. It's almost like you know just a little bit, but our Heavenly Father, being perfect and being at a different dimension, he'll give you, and he knows much more. So coming back to this Isaiah 6:13, the concept is that God directly compares his own affection, love, and care to the one of a mother. And we can see that in his relationship in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. Then we see that with people in the New Testament, and we'll go and look through that a little bit more. In Isaiah 49:15, also God says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on her son of her womb? Even this may forget, yet I will not forget you. How beautiful it is that God uses a mother's love as the highest human measure. And we know that it is impossible and for a woman to forget what even it's said that some might want to forget, but it is impossible to forget that. And God said that even if that would be the case, I will not. It just gives us a different dimension to understand the spirit of motherhood that he has. And then he says that his love and spirit surpasses that of a mother. Moses told the nation of Israel, you forgot the God who gave you birth. So again, what a tender and remarkable picture we have. In God's dealing with Israel, we see the God's loving spirit of a mother. We see that he protected them from dangers that they never even saw coming. He fed them in the wilderness. He comforted them in their sorrows. And when they went astray, as children often do, he allowed them to have experiences and consequences, yet never stopped watching for their return. And the moment that they turned back to him, he did not scold or reject them, but he embraced them with love. And then we know that he raised either a judge or a king and have them re-prosper and have them come back and show their blessing toward them. And brethren, this is really the heart of a godly mother. And this is the heart of God. What a beautiful example we have in him. I would like to continue to look at our Lord Jesus. He too expressed the same motherly heart. He directed it toward the very name, toward the same very nation. Standing over Jerusalem a few days before his crucifixion, knowing the rejection and suffering that awaited him, he cried out longing. And we know that it's recorded 3 times in the Bible that Jesus cried. And this is one of those 3 times. And he did say, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So when we think at the depth of, and he cried, he got tears. When we think at the depth of these words, we can see that he expressed that spirit of a motherhood, of a mother that I tried so much. For 3.5 years, he walked with them, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, raising the dead, pouring his life in our Heavenly Father's service. He said, I came to the last sheep of Israel. I came to you. And with every miracle and every message, he was trying to draw them closer to him. And yet in the end, as a nation, they rejected him and they crucified him, the one who actually loved them the most. So he used the expression of a hen. And think what a hen does when danger approaches. She does not flee to save herself, but she spreads her wings, pulls her chicks close, and shields them with her own body, as she would give her life to save the little ones. And brethren, this is what our Lord Jesus did. He gave his life for them and for each one of us. And yet, as we look at the nation of Israel, I think the lesson is for us as well, that how sobering is to realize that We ourselves sometimes have wandered from that warmth and safety of his motherly love, just as Israel did. And the powerful lesson here it is that a mother's love does not diminish because the child is unwilling. Jesus continued to pursue, continued to long, and continued to love even toward those that rejected him. That's why on the cross he even said that, forgive them because they don't know what they do. And this is truly perfect love, when you would give everything that you have for your children in spite of what they do or in spite of them not listening. And definitely this is the spirit of a mother at its highest and most beautiful expression. Let's look at Apostle Paul. We have some very beautiful lessons there as well. His love and tender and affection for the brethren. And again, he compared his love to a motherly love. And we are very familiar with the scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 2:7, he compared his love like a nursing mother. He said, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother caring for her children. And we know that they were different levels of development, and he knew how to treat them. He knew how to rebuke them, not too much, that they would get discouraged, how to give them different foods, because to a little one, you don't give them boiled eggs the first day. You have to start slowly, and that's what Apostle Paul did. And then he also compared himself in Galatians 4:19, my dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, associating that his experiences and the pain and the hard trials that he goes through, like a mother that goes through pain, and that's how far his love, his the spirit of a mother, the motherhood spirit that was in him, went to help his the brethren and to help them. And we know that in Corinthians he goes on and on and showing them how much he suffered, how much he was beaten, and how he was in danger through everything. All of that he gave his life for the brethren. And then in 1 Corinthians 3:2, he said, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready. Again, we see the same principles. And we know that, especially the church in Corinthians, how many experiences and how many immoralities and different worldly attitudes were there. And he was so gentle with them, and he knew how to bring them closer and how to nurture them. And as we can see, Apostle Paul pictures himself as a mother nursing her baby, feeding according to child's capacity. And you know that it takes time, as we mentioned. And as we have seen, that the spirit of a mother goes beyond the biological mother. We have another good example in back in the book of in the experience of Ruth and Naomi. That Naomi, though not a biological mother to Ruth, she showed love, guidance, and loyalty. And imagine Ruth leaving her country, her relatives, probably her own mother. We don't know if she was alive or not, but leaving all of that behind because the affection and relationship that she had with her mother-in-law. And that's a good example that we can show that, not necessarily having our own children or having, but our love has to go beyond that. Well, Apostle Paul, when he sent greetings to the church in Rome, he said, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Can we imagine the care and the spirit that this sister showed toward Apostle Paul, that Apostle Paul would call her mother? And definitely it was a privilege for her to do that. And Apostle Paul mentioned that. And the question that, looking at all these examples, I think it comes to us, that makes us think, do we have mothers like that in our lives? And not only that, but are you a mother like that for others? It makes us think how far our love extends. Is it limited just maybe to our family or relatives, or it goes beyond? And I think we have seen enough examples what it means. speaking about Romans 16:13, Brother Carl has a discourse. It's called The Mother of Apostle Paul. Some of you might heard it. He goes into some details trying to find or give some suggestions who the mother might be. But then he goes to the main point, showing her love that she showed toward Apostle Paul. If you have time, it's a good one to listen. Jesus said in Matthew 12:50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." And again, we see that Jesus expands this and just very beautiful showing that, of course, he was preaching there, and I think it was Judas that came and said that, look, you know, your direct mother came, your relatives. He wanted to give them a lesson that my family is different. I have a larger family. It is important, of course, to care for them. That's why even when he was on the cross, he did not forget about his mother. But he wanted to leave that lesson for them, that those that follow him, those that have his spirit, they are like his mother. They are like his brother and sister. And then we have another example, which I think it's very good to put it in perspective, that Sarah covenant symbolically is called our mother, the grace covenant. Through this covenant arrangement, we give our lives to God, and we are begotten of the Holy Spirit, and we receive life. In Galatians 4:26, Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. And we see that motherhood is a spiritual principle, not only a physical one. And Jesus died and gave his life for us and the world. And through this, through the grace covenant that was barren for about 2,000 years, now this covenant can give life. That's why it's called that it's our mother. I think it's Peter that says that he called us to a new and living way. He calls it living because now this way gives actually life. Before that, nothing could give life. And it's very beautiful to put this in perspective, even at a spiritual level. And brethren, in the millennial age, the relationship shifts. Once the Sarah covenant has fully brought forth the entire spiritual seed, the glorified church, its place as a channel of blessing is taken by the church itself. There will be a new covenant. And in this sense, the glorified bride of Christ then becomes the mother or nourisher and instructor to the billions of people who ever lived. And I think it's so beautiful to see this principle of motherhood in our lives that gives us a glimpse of how we should develop. So one day, if we are faithful, we will share and we will show this spirit with those that will be awakened. So in summary of this first topic that we explored, each one of us is called to have the spirit of a mother in one way or another. And whatever stage in life we are, we can express, we can show the tenderness and love of a mother. And I think we have looked, and let's learn from our Heavenly Father, from Jesus and Apostle Paul, and from each other. And let's develop this motherly spirit that one day we may be found faithful and be spiritual mothers for the world of mankind. Let's look into the next point we have, the qualities of a godly mother. And I know that here we can spend hours to talk about. And the Bible, it's so rich that it gives us so many examples. And I was thinking that these examples are so good because we might not relate with one example, but we might relate to another one. And that's why we have so many. We have so many lessons. For example, we have the example of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and we remember the love and care and tender that she showed, that she realized that what she has to do is just to put that baby there and just watch and let the Lord overrule. And I don't know how many of us would do that, or how many we would feel that we can do that, but I'm sure that some other mothers relate to that because they went through. We did have a very blessed time and trip to go in Africa, and I really enjoyed speaking with certain brethren, with sisters, and it just made me realize and think that I don't relate to a lot of the experiences that were shared. And I think that's why the Bible is so rich, to make each one of us take something. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read that all the Bible is inspired. And it's profitable for the man of God to be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. And that's the purpose, that each one of us can take something. And as we think about our natural mothers, I think most of us have exceptional memories. Maybe we have high standards. That's very hard to achieve. Or even as a parent or as a child, we look up and we realize that, yeah, I have a good example. But then in the same time, and this is for the children and for us as well, we might have the tendency to look back and reason that upon certain actions and things that might have done better or differently, but or maybe why my mother or parents did this or that. But let's remember that Jesus said that she did what she could about Mary. And I think that's a very important principle to realize. I did not probably learn this until I came to United States, and then I kind of looked back and I said, my mom did so much, but I didn't understand. The Lord had to give me certain experience to look back and appreciate that they do what they can with the knowledge and what they have available. So as we mentioned, that most of you, most of us likely have someone in your life that has shown a mother's spirit towards you. This person probably could be of any age. It could be related or not related. Or like even in David's case, his best friend was Jonathan, and he was much older than him. So it's important for us to think of those people that show that spirit toward us. So let's look at a few different qualities. We know that at the heart of a godly motherhood is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. And we can see that it's not the outward appearance. It's not, not the earthly values that the world values, but it is something deeper. It's something that who you are, who are we as a person that is valued in the sight of God. We remember God told that man looks at outward appearing, but God looks at the heart. And this is the foundation of godly motherhood, is the fear of the Lord. And we know that this is not appreciated in schools, in colleges, or work environment, or society, but it takes a step back to realize that this is truly the most valuable thing that can be laid as a foundation. A mother who fears the Lord orders her life around his will. Her children might not remember every word she spoke, but they remember what mattered the most. And we know that what a mother honors or treasures, a child learns to respect. And I'm sure that most of you have seen or experienced this. And this fear of the Lord, this reverence, produces wisdom and kindness. And the next verse says that she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. We know that it is not very easy to express this and to show this wisdom. And it is, you know how hard it is to say the right thing at the right time, or not to say something when you have to say, because certain consequences might come up. But it is very, very important to realize this wisdom and the kindness that we have to show. We know that wisdom without kindness can hurt. And kindness without wisdom can be misleading. But God joins this together, and how important it is to have both of these. And we, as we mentioned, that in the case of Moses' mother, she showed that. She showed the wisdom, but she showed the kindness as well, because she was behind and was waiting for the outcome. Another important quality of godly motherhood is sacrificial love. Proverbs 31:15. She rises also while is yet night and gives meat to her household. Now the concept is that love makes you think of others' needs. And the more we develop the perfect love, the more we sacrifice our preferences, our time, our efforts, everything we have for Christ's sake. And this is what Jesus said, I came not to do my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And we know that a lot of mother's efforts happen maybe behind the scene that we don't see. A lot of your effort in the service of the Lord might happen where it's not noticeable. And it doesn't need to be. Apostle Paul said that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Heaven keeps record of what earth overlooks, and we should not necessarily expect, and I know it's nice to see the appreciation, but sometimes it might not be there, and that should not discourage us. We know that there is a night that never sleeps. There is, Jesus said that I come with me and my reward is with me. The reward is to our Heavenly Father. So let us show us as a, we learn this principle, the sacrificial love. Let's give everything we have. Apostle Paul said, what do you have that you didn't receive? Showing that everything that we received, it's not from us. James says that every good gift comes from the Father of lights from above. Again, the same principle. Godly motherhood is also marked by faith that is passed on, not merely professed. And Apostle Paul reminds us of Timothy, where he says the unfeigned faith, or in this translation, the sincere faith that he grew up with. We know that he grew up with his grandmother, Lois, then his mother, and then ultimately himself. And then I think it's just such a beautiful lesson showing that Timothy grew up in this atmosphere of belief. Faith was not simply taught, it was lived. And we know that children are shaped less by instructions and more by convictions. And this faith produces strength that is anchored in hope. And we know in Hebrews 6:9 says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. Proverbs 31:15, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. This does not mean that we never weep or we don't get discouraged, but it means that we don't give up. We trust the one who holds tomorrow. And we look at Hannah, who poured her soul before the Lord. And like a godly mother who brings her anxiety to God before she carries them alone. And we may control the outcome. We may not control the outcome, but we trust the one who does the outcome. Motherhood in this way becomes a living lesson in consecration. When a child cries, we know that the mother is there and gives all her preferences for that little child. And the same concept applied to our brethren. This is daily self-denial for each one of us that should be reflected in our Christian life. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:15, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. And we know that few experiences teach consecration more naturally than loving someone who deepens or who depends entirely on you. And that's when we realize that, then our love goes beyond that. Let's spend a few minutes and look at the influence and legacy of a godly mother. We know that Mostly I notice that in the Old Testament, that and in the Proverbs, it emphasizes the influence of a mother upon the children. Now, it doesn't exclude the husband, but this is, I found this a very interesting verse. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Now, I know probably a lot of husbands in this world would love this verse because it falls on the wife. But I think when we start and look back, it is a group effort to raise. It's a good effort to help each other as well. Now, this definitely implies the mother's role. And probably I was thinking is that in old times, it was more common for husband to go to work or maybe to war or other activities and was less at home. And that's why the mother was more in charge of the child's growth and influence. But the lesson is there that the whatever influence the mother had upon this child, it kind of defines and it comes back on you. And it's a lesson for all of us that we have that legacy to influence and to leave an example for others. Like Brother Tom, you mentioned last Sunday, the brother that he did not even know that you saw that through the window, but it was a good legacy that he left. And these are good examples that we should show in whatever circumstances we are. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, showing that the legacy and the lessons that we do and we exercise and we work on, they will bring fruit. In volume 5, page 545, if the child sees that the parent venerates God and his word and is instructed from this source, he has before him an object lesson which should be valuable to him throughout life, going down in turn to his children. Again, what a beautiful example that we should be examples. We looked at Hannah's legacy that she had, and that reminded us of a mother's faith that can influence a nation. When she dedicated Samuel, I don't think she knew that that's how far her dedication and legacy will go. She did not foresee his role as a prophet, as a judge, and a reformer of Israel. She simply followed through her vow that she made to God. And we see that godly mothers often sow seeds whose harvest they do not witness, or they might not witness, or they might not anticipate. And Proverbs 31:28, her children arise and call her blessed. This implies that our example and influence goes beyond our lifetime. Even when children wander, the moral and spiritual framework formed in early years continue to speak. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So the greatest legacy we can leave is not necessarily success, but perseverance, direction, firm goals, keeping promises, and a life consistently pointed toward God. Because we might fail, even in our examples, but if we point someone and if we help someone in the right direction with the right principles, we can see that they will find the refuge in our Heavenly Father. And that's very important. That's what Moses did. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7, this word shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. We can see that we cannot choose another's path, but we can outline the righteous principles that lead to a godly life and true peace. When Christ is centered in our home, children are sent into the world with an anchor for the soul. And we mentioned Hebrews 6:9. So brethren, so far we looked at the principle of motherhood and we have seen how important these principles are in our lives. We have seen how motherhood expands and goes beyond our immediate families and our relationships. And what a beautiful example we have in the scriptures. So, brethren, in conclusion, you know, we sing at Camp Pesiran. That's the last song, and that's the lesson, that whatever we learn throughout the week, we have to pass it on. As we bring our task to a close, we are reminded that the spirit we have reflected on today is not limited to mothers or circumstances, but the spirit of a godly mother is a divine quality, one that is in God's nature and is meant to be reflected in all who gives their lives to him. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Much of our influence and service happens quietly, unseen by the world, but God measures value differently. He sees every hidden act of faithfulness, every prayer spoken in secret, and every tear that was shed. We're also reminded that God himself gathered the weak with tenderness, in Isaiah 40:11, showing that spirit as well. This is the heart that we are called to develop, a heart that protects the weak, patiently guides those inexperienced, and refuses to abandon those who struggle. As individual, families, and ecclesia, let us remember that the love of God always bears fruit. Colossians 3:14, and above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. May each one of us, as mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, or servants, seek to reflect this nurturing, faithful spirit in our daily walk. And may we hold fast to the promise that faithful is he that called you and will also do it. And we have seen that Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And earthly mothers typify the future work of glorified church, which will nurture, instruct, help, and guide and restore the world in the kingdom. And let us all learn about what it means to have this godly, motherly spirit. So ultimately, God would use each one of us to raise his children to perfection. And unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.